This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Cause I'm searching, oh, I'm searching, oh my goodness, searching, we're into it, yeah, yeah, but I'm like that Northwest Mountain, you know I bring her in song.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. You're going to find her, the Beatles, looking for Louise, the hippo. Anyway, hopefully we have a decent show today so that we can talk about a lot of things. But we're going to be talking alien species, and all of us can relate to that. Well, at least the majority of us can relate to that. We're the bulk of us that live here now are alien species, believe it or not, by definition. We come in. The only thing we don't come in is in plants and things of that nature. We get on airplanes and come and go, ooh, look at there. We like that. Look at there. Let's move here. And so then you have an abundance of alien species from all corners of the world, bringing their ways and their habits and their desires and their appetites and their cultures. And they, you know the game. And so, believe it or not, at a higher level, human beings serve those same roles to displace native people, native culture, and just on and on and on and on. You know, if you look at the mockingbird, that we actually have a mockingbird here. We have a northern cardinal here. We have Some of the other birds that were introduced, there were even white mourning doves and white winged doves and other birds that were introduced, and some didn't fare so well, but they were brought here because some of the people from the mainland actually wanted to bring with them their familiar birds, and that actually took place. And then some instances, birds were brought here for the sake of agricultural pest control. Isn't that a joke? You know, like the white-eyed vireo or the papaya bird or I'll get the name here shortly. But anyway, with that, the ones that we bring in to do good end up overwhelming and doing bad because they too have no things in place, check and balance, control their population. The Majiro is the bird, the white-eyed vireo, Majiro, or papaya bird. And so that's what we're going to be talking about, and later we're going to talk about the rhinoceros, the coconut rhinoceros beetle. And you might, you know, for some reason, I'm not going to try to sell you the idea that you should become a warrior or get out there and do something. And again, a lot of these things in my mind require some kind of action. And I have to tell myself, you're listeners. You're not advocates. You're not people that are going to go out there every day on every issue and hold signs, and because you really then wouldn't have time to even feed yourself. So do understand there are times when I'll bring and present an issue. And my goal is, and I might follow up with, take an action. Well, you really don't have to, but I ask that you at least make a note of it, and so that this and many of the things that I present to you, and that's why it's my goal to be as factual as the day presents itself, and as factual as the documents that present themselves, because I don't hope that you don't just react on something I say, just flip it, but to sit back, and this is how we look at the bigger picture and each stroke of the brush, that this picture that's being painted. And when we see that, we can sit back and we can know that when a man tell us, like Mufi Hanuman, that he's seen the light now and he's learned from his mistakes, well, that's fine. His learning is cheap. He got a cheap lesson. But the lesson we learn from him is expensive. And we're going to talk about those kinds of things. And we're going to talk about the rhinoceros beetle, coconut beetle, that is having a grand impact on our plants and coconut, the palm trees, bananas, taro, and all of that. Potentially, this thing is out of control, but you don't hear. What you see is a lot of the black traps laying around, hanging from trees. But I'm going to try and share with you so that I don't expect you to go out now and take a pair of tweezers and a can of Raid and go out as an advocate and try to, you know, kill the population. But I just want you to understand the many fragments of this thing that when I see the paper say that Mufi is making a promise to making a better place, Duke Ion is made, I dismiss all of that, because I have to say, look where we are now. And they, Ionas, as a lieutenant governor, which is an office that does very little. So I don't know where he proclaimed to be this expert now in leading us to the glory land. And even Ige with his position. So vote careful, but think about all of this. And so I'm going to try and lay that out for you and just share it with you, that this beetle, you don't know how substantial of an impact this beetle is causing. And but someone within the federal government and someone within the city government recognize that this thing is out of control or is bigger than they are letting us know. They're not just trying to test and sample to see if they're out there. They're promising, as the city has claimed now, and we'll get into that, that as a result of the coconut rhinoceros beetle and the attempt to eradicate it, or I guess to chasing it, in, I would describe, because they're not proactively cutting down trees and anticipating to eliminate food stuff or habitat. They're following the beetle as it goes when it sees trees dying and what have you. So anyway, we're going to get into all of that. And then at the end of the day, what you can take away from this at a minimum is that, and I've said this 20, 30 times, we read that Honolulu is one of the most expensive places in the U.S. or maybe the world to live in. And we're first in this and first in that, but in a negative way. But I believe that with the change orders and the favoritisms and way resolutions are built and designed to actually funnel money, and then the resolutions are built and authored so that they protect their friends into contracts, and then they allow their friends' contracts that expire, then they are amended. So they really don't expire, they just amend them. And so at the end of the day, we're paying probably three times or four times it would cost just through the hook and crookery that's going on. And I believe, based on the number of occasions and the things that I've witnessed, that there is actually a way that we can reduce this. So it's important when you talk about voting, and those of you out there that's leaning on glory and on the cross and you know, back up. Welcome to your belief, enjoyed, and prayer is great and all of that. But at the end of the day, once you leave the threshold of the church, the doorway, you still got these same guys giving these contracts to their friends and all, and they're in government, and whether it be Iona or Hanneman, we know how he functions, and Ige. So focus on those issues. And so anyway, but we're going to, I got a little special thing here. I had kids to write, and we've had a substantial and good response to the articles I did on the hippo. And the, you know, that one died at the, and they call her Rosie, and at the Honolulu Zoo. And there's some, and I will just tell you, it's a cover up. It's a lie. They've lied and said that one thing, and but they know that it was done, and the animal died due to negligence and arrogance on the part of the city and county of Honolulu. That's the bottom line. If you don't agree with me and you take odds, call me up and let's chat. So, but I'm going to entertain right now. I got some young ladies and kids to call in, and I ask them, and you can see their art on carolcox.com. And you can also pick up the show at KWAI 1080 AM and just go there and listen live on the internet, or go to carolcox.com and click on listen live. Good morning. Turn your radio down. Turn your radio down. Hello.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, good morning.
Hello.
Is this Haley?
Uh-huh.
You there?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, tell me, what do you want to say about the hippo, Haley?
I want to talk about what Mayor Carvel is going to do about saving Lily the hippo. Because I don't want her to die just like Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to see hippos at the zoo. It's really sad if Louise is going to die too. It would be also nice if Mayor Carville would get Louise another playmate so both of them can live in clean, filthy water. So Louise don't get lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And you thank you for that letter you shared with me, and thank you for the art that you shared. So I put it up on our website, and hopefully the mayor will respond to your letter that you wrote to him.
Yeah. I hope he saves Louise.
Okay, you were breaking up, but so anyway, is go ahead. Who was going to talk? Harley? Is it Harley?
Yes.
Hi, Harley. How are you?
Good.
Well, what would you like to say to the mayor and about the hippo and what have you? You sent me a letter. What would you like to say?
I don't want to believe that the Lord is there, but I'm going to ask my classmates to write a letter to the mayor so we can go and clean filtered water.
Okay, so you want him to make clean water for her?
Yes.
And has the mayor written you back a letter yet, answered your letter?
No.
Okay, well, when he does write you back, will you call me or send an email, have mom send an email?
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you. And there's Melanie there. Is she there?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Let her tell us what she'd like to tell us.
Hi, Uncle.
Hi, good morning.
I'm just sad because Asian Hippo is happy, but Lily is not happy because she's ill.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really sad that Lily is ill because Rosie already died.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be really helpful if Rosie can get a permit.
Okay.
And if she can have clean filtering water.
All righty. Okay, well, thank you for your picture, and I put your letter up on we're putting your letter on the website. And so hopefully as you guys were going to talk to your classmates and your teacher and thanks for writing your letter and sending your painting or your picture, okay?
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you so much.
Bye, Uncle.
Bye-bye, aloha. Okay, that came about with the children, once we talked about it, and they came across and saw the pictures and decided to take up on themselves to write a letter and what have you. And you know the story, if some of you haven't heard it, we lost the hippopotamus, one of two that is held in captivity there at the Honolulu Zoo. And just a real brief, that these animals or the hippo were there. And the accounts that I've gotten through direct interviews, even though the mayor and his press persons are too arrogant and too, I guess, ethnocentric. I speak Ubonics or something, and they don't care to talk to me, but they'll talk to the rest of the media. And I don't know if they don't like my questions or my tone, but they're basic questions. And so being that I couldn't get a intelligent or respectful response from them, I went in pursuit of these answers myself and was fortunate to talk to a number of employees and workers that were working with that facility and installing a filtration system and in the hippopotamus compound. So the bottom line is, and there is actually, I did get the necropsy, and as I had told you, the claim originally was that it was the animal, the hippopotamus, died as a result of they shut it down. I'm sorry, it was a healthy animal, but they shut the exhibit down because they wanted to give the one animal time to grieve, the remaining animal time to grieve, when in fact the truth is they shut it down because they know that the noise and all of the things that were happening there caused stress and contributed to the death of that animal. I didn't do a necropsy, but there's a couple things. I did read the necropsy, and I have concerns with how it was conducted, who collected the samples, because imagine if the samples were collected by zoo personnel, then they'd have their own interest to skewer, only pick and provide sampling that would be would limit to things, right? So you just, that entire process, the zoo has to be reviewed. And the frightening part about it is that they then claim that they're going to get new animals. And what I've come away with in learning this whole process about the zoo, it's a hole that friends of politicians and contractors get to get money, they throw money into it, and it's never, ever, ever going to balance out. And some of those conditions, imagine you lose a hippo, you lose a rhino, you lose, and at the same time the chimpanzee is running out. And then if you go to EnviroWatch.org, you can see a story that way back what prompted me to file a complaint with the city to make them cancel the conditions, and also the Rusty, the orangutan, was destined for Kulur Ranch, a roadside zoo. Would have been dead more than likely with the history of the animals being killed there or transferred there. But I just want to read to you real quick. Here's the necropsy. They're saying the clinical information, it was Dr. Okimoto, and or it's, I guess it says to them, and date was August 4th, 2014 is the date of this. It's one hippopotamus female, 24 years old, and they say the clinical information recently exposed to construction noise adjacent to sleeping quarters and exhibit. Recently, the animal had decreased food consumption and a change in behavior. It was found dead 7/18/14. There was variable postmortem degeneration. Free fluid was seen in the abdominal cavity, and the lungs appeared to be congested. Adrenal glands were not found, and possible mucosal erosions were noted in the glandular stomach, and portion of small intestines appear to be ridden. And so this is what, and the cause of death, this is the necropsy of the death of the animal, is not determined. The pancreatic and hepatic changes could indicate some sort of mild metabolic problem. And the splenic and lymph node changes may indicate a stress reaction. However, there is certainly no evidence of any underlying active disease process present. The role of environmental stress should be speculative, but certainly is one possibility to consider. So, folks, I know that we have to be careful, and when we call ourselves media and giving you the facts, but there is nothing improper about drawing conclusions and maybe appear to be reckless. It may be wanton, but in this, when you have a necropsy pointing to this, and when you have direct interviews with people that have direct relationship with that animal and in that incident, you can't dismiss that. And then when you get some lame excuse or explanation and the refusal to inform me, the person initiating this inquiry, and you claim that the work was stopped because it was a concern for grieving animal, something's wrong with this. So anyway, I hope that the takeaway from this is to know that Mayor Caldwell, I just can't tell you publicly how great it is to be ignored. That's like flipping a switch inside of me. when I get ignored and insulted and offended, I become not angered. I go on the hunt for the truth, because accidents happen in this world. Things happen. Decisions are made, and the mayor and his administration any given day have hundreds of decisions to be made, and many of them are timely or sensitive, time-sensitive, and require something. But that's understood. It's the way in which you react after the fact that speaks to your integrity. Because if it was an innocent act or an accident or a bad judgment, that's okay. But when you apply lies to it and become offensive with your actions and holding documents and not being transparent and disrespecting the public, like myself, asking basic questions, writing letters, asking questions, and you stoop as low. So we just have to understand that this is, I draw these conclusions, and I stick with them, and they may not be consistent with what many of you see happen out there, but I'm a different kind of cookie. So, but anyways, the caller was calling in, I don't know. But that's what's happening on the hippopotamus. And I hope that I pursue this, because there are still other animals that are held in captivity there, and they're on display. And imagine being taken from your, and I don't know if these were bred, because, you know, there's so many things going on with zoos where there's people that breed animals and breed them, and that makes money, and they sell them, and they trade them, and they loan them out to breeding, and I'm at the risk of offending some of my fellow African Americans, but it reminds me of slavery, as I've read and learned, the trading and the bartering and selling of animals and moving them around so that kids can come and look and then in turn see them there. And, you know, yes, there's an educational value, but what is that value? So are we really, and especially the Honolulu Zoo, I mean, here you expand an elephant containment, and yet you're struggling, and you have $3 million job put into the hippopotamus to build a filtering system, and you shut down that job, and then you take the animal and stick him back into the filth, or her back into the filthy water, because you're waiting for one to grieve, but you don't establish how long one's grieve, which is all poppycock. It's nothing to do with grieving. It's about you need to ask these questions. Who was responsible for leaving these animals out and that contributing to their death? So, anyway, I'm going to make a little leap here. On Thursday, 8/28/2014, this is in the local section on the front page of the Star Advertiser. City might owe H-Power $2 million. The administration is in talks with the contractor after shorting it on trash. And you've heard me talk about this, whether it was a landfill or H-Power. This goes back to what do we know about politicians? Well, if they've been in the business and in our affairs, we have so many examples. It just takes someone honest effort, and to be honest with you, the listener, to tell you and remind you of these people that think that you now. The average politician apparently believes that the average voter develops Alzheimer's or dementia at the age of voting age. Really, because they say stupid stuff, they do stupid things, and then they come back and says, well, my hands are clean, and I've learned better, and I can do better, and I'm going to lead us out of this trouble. And, you know, because we don't have Alzheimer's, and we do remember, and we do know that part of this problem, and God only knows what the cost is going to be on the rail and many other things, the ferry. I personally had no objections to having a ferry here. It would do many things, serve the public. And I objected to the ferry because of the way it was forced upon us, ignoring the environmental concerns and environmental impacts, not mitigating anything, and being thrust upon us. It's kind of similar to the rail. So City might owe H-Power $2 million. So if you don't know what H-Power is, it's a facility over there with three now boilers that burns trash. So trash that is picked up at your home or business is transported there by private hauler or commercial hauler or city haulers. I don't know if they allow you to, as a private person, a homeowner, to drive to the H-Power. I don't know. But nonetheless, this translates into big bucks. When I say big bucks, I mean big bucks. And so this article, and I guess the thing is, it's written by Gordon Payne. The thing is, and all the times, it's not what they say. It's what they do not say becomes a bigger concern. And not the paper, but the people. And this is talking about... because they guarantee the operator, who's a private entity, Covanta, that operates the H-Power, the city in its contract guarantees X number of tons of trash to be delivered to that boiler. If not, they're guaranteed X number of dollars. So that brings home one point. Will we ever see a real true recycling program? How much trust should we give any program that the city and county implements as it relates to the recycling and their recycling programs? Because if you're guaranteeing an entity X number of tons, and in this case I think it was 800,000 ton per day, but then you also guarantee the landfill so many thousands of tons, not per day, not 800,000 per day per year, I think, but so many tons per day. If you were efficient and had an efficient recycling program, how do you juggle the books if you guaranteed this company X number of tons, but you got a recycling program that could actually reduce half of that volume that's going there, but you wouldn't be inclined to do that because it's going to cost you, and you're in contract with the person that you must deliver them X number of tons. So, again, I offer the names as I travel through this discussion, and that is Mufi Hanneman, Duke Iona being the Lieutenant Governor. I don't know, what does the Lieutenant Governor do? What, consults with the Governor every day and gives the Governor guidance on policies and laws and relationships and investments and the status of our economy and all of that? Is that what the Lieutenant Governor does? I don't know. But the way Iona has presented himself, one would believe that it was just that. And then Ige, the same thing. He's been around there, but again, many of these flawed policies and fundings and taxes and that have come during his tenure. So we have to be careful when we talk about and listen to people saying that I've changed and I've learned my lesson. But we understand you learn your lesson. But we still paying from the taxes and the change orders and the amount of money that's lost from the taxpayer that goes unexplained. And the criminal behavior, for example, millions of dollars were wasted in the removal and addressing the cement that was taken from the city sidewalks and city streets and other place facilities and dumped in a river and pounded where I uncovered it. So that in itself, that was during, I think the Hanneman administration was in. The best could be said about that is that he was paving a good road for the taxpayer to see relief. That's me throwing that in there. But let me read to you more of this article. We're going to quote Tim Hooton. Pressed to give an estimate of how much city may owe, Hooton said, he's the deputy director of the Environmental Services, said potentially, quote, between $1.5 million and $2 million. But that's all subject to negotiation. It could be nothing depending on the negotiation process. Quote, he said, Hooton said, several new sources of trash will mean the city should be able to meet the 800,000-ton threshold this year. About 30,000 tons of wastewater, sludge, that's human waste mixed with toilet tissue and all the other solids and things that whatever you throw down the drain and they screen it at the screening bars at the sewage plant. And I don't know if you were aware that we're going to be burning human waste. I've heard that when you know what hit the fan is going to be trouble, but I didn't know that there was a term that when it hit the boiler, when you know what hits the boiler. I don't know. But anyway, there's also going to be a 30,000 tons of automobile waste. That means the foams, the vinyl, the plastics, the rubber, the lights, the insulation from the wiring, all of that. Did you know that these things were going to be burned there? Now, and this goes back to when we engage in these contracts and these, quote, new forms of technology, look what we're getting into. There is a byproduct of burning this material, gases, metals, and mercuries, and all of those things, constituents of concern, that are going to be emitting into the air. So when you see that smoke being driven off, coming out of the pipe, those are solids. And those are materials with contaminants. And unless they have a perfect scrubber on those pipes, all of that is eventually going into the environment, going out to the ocean, especially for us, or getting in the jet stream and landing in Mississippi, who knows. But compliments of Honolulu. But here's another one. There's going to also be 50, and please pay attention to this one, because I think this is an insight that really, it grabbed my eye. This goes when I said to you earlier, it's not what we say, or sometimes it's something we don't say, but there's so much to it that you can ask questions. Did you know that, Hooton is promising that the people that are asking the city council, what about this deficit and what have you? And he states that 50,000 tons of coconut beetle waste from the U.S. Department of Agriculture are expected. Now, we've seen stories about the coconut rhinoceros beetle, and we suspect that it had its origin in Hickam Air Force Base or Iroquois Point, somewhere in there. To get a straight answer. But listen to that statement. The United States Department of Agriculture is actively trying to document, eradicate, eliminate, or whatever the terms are, the rhinoceros beetle, hoping that it can't expand or its area of impact. So they're estimating 50, well, take that back. This is representation made by who? I don't know what the USDA, I wrote them a letter and I'll share with you what they said briefly. But 50,000 tons of coconut beetle waste from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Folks, if there is 50,000 tons of coconut beetle waste being generated from the presence of the existing population of beetles, I'd say we need to get out of the mode of checking and looking to see. We need to be now aggressively pursuing some way of eradicating. But that costs money. And so that goes back to where in history shows that when people like myself, quote, the evil environmentalists or the irrational environmentalists say that we need stricter controls and we need stricter scrutiny to protect Hawaii's environment from the introduction of alien species through the military activities. Because you see, the military, today they may be in the Philippines for the next 6 months, and they're going to bring their equipment back, and they're going to bring their planes back. What kind of process is it thorough enough to reduce the chances of introducing, example, the brown tree snake, and or the rhinoceros beetle, or anything? So we get our legislators who go, well, you know, we don't want to be, it's going to cost us a lot of money to do that, and we don't have that money. But at the end of the day, in the end of the process, it costs a lot of money anyway. So imagine, and I'm going to go through this letter I wrote Tim Hooten, and I must say that Tim Hooten did, in fact, respond to me, unlike the mayor's office, and did give me a respectable response, and I appreciate that. And I, when treated nice, it feels good. And so I must convey to you, the listener, the Environmental Services Department did, in fact, respond to me. They want you to know what I know, and that was the intent. So, and this is his letter. I had asked Tim Hooten, what is the period of time the 50,000 tons of coconut beetle waste is to be delivered? And please provide a start date and an estimated date of the 50,000 tonnage will be delivered. And he states that if possible, please, I said, if possible, please provide the source of contact or information, a person, document submitted by the USDA informing the USDA will be delivering 50,000 tons. So I'd ask him to tell me who I could contact to see that from the USDA, what are they relying on? Is that 50,000 tons already in existence, or is it future, and how long of a period of time will this be produced? And what would be the cost? See, when we say the USDA, that's just another buzzword or a code for you, the taxpayer. That's basically all it is. It's the USDA does not have a printing press, so it gets its money from the taxes that we pay into the federal system and other means. So it's, once again, it's your money. And so his response was, Hooten's response was, the city and the USDA are in discussions and have not yet established a date or time frame for deliveries of coconut rhinoceros beetle contaminated mulch and or green waste to H-Power. The USDA is currently identifying several abandoned mulch piles in and around the Iroquois Point area that could be nesting, breeding grounds, or breeding grounds for the beetle. They are also in the process of hiring a contractor to load and deliver the mulch to H-Power. Once these logistics have been worked out, the USDA's hauler will begin delivering mulch to H-Power. Estimated start date is within the next 2 weeks. The USDA PIO contact person is Rob Curtis. And so I contact Mr. Curtis, And he wrote back saying, thank you, Carol, for your inquiry. I am not the USDA employee, so I cannot speak for them, nor am I knowledgeable about the below plans for disposal of coconut rhinoceros beetle waste. I can at least tell you the CR coconut rhinoceros beetle inhabits coconut trees and decaying plant material, and it is in these materials that we have found infestations here in Hawaii. Well, you know, again, I'm just sharing with you the letter and share with you what I have to put up with. You see, I'm told that this is the person, when I ask a question of the city, who do I contact, and they give me this name and a contact phone. I contact that, and that person says, nope, I'm not the person. So I'm not casting aspersions or saying anybody's lying, but you understand. Accuracy in reporting. And so what if I'd have taken that and ran with it and didn't bother to call or write Robert, and I would be telling you a lie here as representing it to be fact. See what it takes just to sit here and attempt to be honest and straightforward? So I ask, what type of waste is the coconut beetle waste composed of, and the percentage of the green wastes? The coconut beetle waste is primarily mulch, consisting of 4 to 6 inch pieces of chipped waste. Then, does the city deliver green waste to Hawaiian Earth Products facilities? Yes. If yes, is this practice being conducted under a contract? Yes. What period of time does a contract cover? The current contract expires June 23rd. Now, I have the contract. Apparently, they didn't think that I have the contract, but I wanted to hear from them, because when you read something from the city, you must learn one thing. Don't take it at face value. If you get something from the city and county of Honolulu, or even the state, I've learned, you don't know the backdoor dealings. So I caution you, when you receive a document and you read the contents of that document, please, for the sake of sanity and being accurate, don't go with that. There are guys in this town, they got their hands, man, they're magicians. They walk through that door and they sit and they tell you one thing, the taxpayer, and they present it and they hammer it out in public forum. But at the end of the day, once that meeting is over, there's going to be backdoor dealings, and you and only the guy or the fly on the wall will know what. So make sure anything you get from these agencies, I'm telling you from experience, they won't tell you, then they will tell you, but they will tell you in such snippets or misinformation that you will be uninformed. So, and who is the Hawaiian Earth Products? Hawaiian Earth Products is a company that's situated out there in Campbell Industrial Park, Maokole Street, and then there's one facility related, Minahuni Magic. They are both the same companies. One, and or have you go to this facility, you see both signs. And there's one in Kapaa Quarry. Now, what I will tell you is that at Hawaiian Earth Products, you heard me talk about the mulch and the read that the beetle can be found and enhance its habitat and its stay here in population and all that by feeding on mulch as well as coconut trees and banana trees and whatever. But go to the Hawaiian Earth Products and you will see mounds. And I've posted some pictures up there, mounds and mounds of mulch that this facility receives. When you put your green waste in the trash can and the city trucks come by, the city truck goes by and pick it up and then take that and dump it at the facility. So I have a question for you. You know that there's an 800,000 pound guarantee, a threshold, and we're threatened with having to pay $2 million because we can't deliver the volume of trash to be burned. So why are we then, if that's true, why are we paying a company to take green waste that we can burn at H-Power? It's cleaner. I don't know how many BTUs it generates in comparison to automobile waste or fecal matter. I don't know, you know, because it depends on, I guess, how fancy you eat. And as far as the human sludge to be burned, that may generate more BTUs. Or if you ate at some fancy restaurant, I don't know. But the stupid part of this is that we take thousands of tons to this green waste facility, and they grind it up, and they make some mulch, but they can't use all that they make, and they can't process all that, so they have rolls and mountains and rolls and mountains, even serving as a boundary on the outer boundaries. Don't you think that the city could divert that green waste? It's only a block away. And deliver that green waste? Well, I must tell you, let me back up, can't do that because some politician decided, let me get my friend this contract and then let's do an ordinance and get a resolution that this green waste can't be delivered to the H-Power. It can only be delivered basically because it's recyclable to Hawaiian Earth Products facilities. So this is what I'm telling you about the taxes. We wouldn't have to pay $2 million to this company at H-Power. We could divert the trucks of the green waste, send the green waste to H-Power. And there, they burn plastics and they're going to burn vinyls. And, you know, the trash bags, we pay extra, a penalty, basically, if we deliver green waste that was picked up from the curbside to this Hawaiian Earth Products because it's contaminated. And we give them an extra couple of dollars for that. So, folks, we're being nickel and dime out of this world. So we'll come back in the next hour and we'll talk some more. 524-1080 is the number, and you can pick us up at carol@carolcox.com.
When we first met, baby, you said it's me and you. But I found out later there was others too. But I didn't quit you, baby. I hung on like a vine. But when you say your love for me was all in my mind, oh, that did it, baby.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K101.
Monday's so good, Tuesday's so cruel, one day you're so happy now, the next day you're in tears. So you take it while you find it, I leave it like it is. That's the way it's always been. That's the way love is. Wednesday's all right, but Thursday's all wrong. One day you're all with the baby, the next day it's all gone. So you take it while you find it, or you can leave it like it is. That's the way it's always been. That's the way love is. Friday you'll beg her, Saturday she'll plead. One day she'll say she loves you, the next day she might leave. So you take it where you find it, or you can leave it like it is. That's the way it's always been. That's the way love is. It seems so fair sometimes, but that's the way love is. It makes you want to cry, but that's the way love is. I know you don't know what I'm talking about, baby, because I don't believe you ever been in love.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
All right, good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. All right, we were talking about green waste, and it's funny that when we talk about green waste, I want to just go, this is really green waste this time, folks. We're talking about your dollar, not green waste of trees and vines and leaves, but we're talking about green waste. They're wasting your bucks. I promise you, if we had a means of getting back control of government, getting rid of the special handshakes, the issuance of contracts without bids, and all of that, these bids and competitive bids and fair bidding process favors the taxpayer or favors anybody. But if the people we vote in go out and hire their friends, and then there's a lot of malarkey where they give their friends the numbers to bid low, knowing that once they get in the door, they then turn around and raise the price because they, the elected official, has the right to tell his people quietly, don't make any noise. And that's why in this town, when they pick a person that used to sell shoe leather to run the IT department, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get trampled on. Your rights, your interests are going to get trampled on. And that's what this is. They don't look to hire the people with expertise in the special field. They look for dedication, commitment, and allegiance to that elected official. And so what we find ourselves in, I just get tense when I hear, Hawaii is highest cost of living. Honolulu is the highest cost of living. The taxes are higher than anywhere, and on and on and on. And I'm looking at this and saying, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. Really, it does not. It we just need to take a handle. If you had a reason to vote smart, this is the reasons to one of the many reasons to vote smart. But I want to share with you, take up where I left off on this, just to demonstrate, attempt to demonstrate to you. Some of you might think, "What the heck is he talking about?" But it's okay. That's the joy of being able to waste 2 hours and not panic. We'll get it right on the eighth show. But I want to, you know, I told you that Tim Hooton is promising to deliver might have to pay $2 million to H-Power operators because we may not meet the threshold. So I was telling you about Hawaiian Earth Products. Now, here's a contract. Let me show you how this thing works. Effective July 2012, unit price per ton shall be adjusted and increased as follows. This is green waste that you put in a can. A yellow truck comes along and pick it up and transport it to a private facility who has a contract that's been amended time and time again. It was, if you notice, Hooton says the contract was originally signed in 2009, but I'm asking, when was it signed and when did it expire and has it been renewed? Well, didn't get a straight answer, but it's okay. I have the contract in hand here. So listen to this. This is how your money is being spent. So we're going to have to take possibly $2 million and pay this company that operates the boiler because we can't deliver enough waste. But then we're paying another company to take our waste that could be taken to H-Power. But because there is a ordinance 9-1-9-1.7 claims that you can't do that because green waste, yard trimmings from commercial and government generators is restricted, banned from disposal. So you must take it to a facility. Well, this law was written, and this law that wasn't written to protect the interests of the taxpayer, this law was written to enhance the pocket and line the pockets of the people that were up there competing for the bids at Mufi Hanneman and Jeremy Harris was, and throughout, and now Caldwell, and then Carlisle, all of them lining the pockets of this company. And there are other people that want to use some of this. Private companies want to use part of this green waste, but they're told, no, you can't use it. And I reported that on the show. You can't use it. We can't give you an unless you sign a contract or a statement or an agreement that you can't sell the product that we just leave sitting around here and charging the city for. And also it invites possibly beetles and a breeding ground for that. And also we have possibly a 24-hour fire watch because it sits right next door to Chevron plant out there in Barbers Point. So we got big problems. If that place catches fire, it might present a problem to Chevron. I'm just saying, you know, I saw a stick laying in the sand and then I went back and reported it was a snake. But it has happened before, and you know, so I'm just telling you, be careful. But I want to show you how silly it is to even discuss the fact that we would give $2 million when we're delivering green waste. Effective 2012, the unit price per ton shall be adjusted, and it would be from $65.25 to $65.38 per ton. So that means when you put your green waste in the trash can, in that green can, and that yellow truck pulls up, and you hear the air brakes and it picks up and shh, and you've just contributed to money to a politician's friend. And green waste, that's green waste unbagged now. So when you put it in a bag, it's one thing. Green waste bagged is number three, is from $70. It's going to increase from $70.25 to $70.38. That was then in 2012. So my question is, if you drive out there right now, and we posted some of the pictures up, as I told you, at carolcox.com, and you can see this matter just sitting there, going to waste. They can't turn it because it's too massive. They can't get rid of it because, as I reported to you before, they were taking some of it because they got so much excess and dumping it in the fields in Wailua, but yet Tim Hooten and Caldwell and the director, Laurie, I'll get her name one day. I keep, anyway, the director, they're dumping it on the ground up there and again crying that we may have to pay $2 million over here, but we're going to offset it by burning human waste and burning beetle juice and all of that. If that's not insanity, folks, and a disrespect for the taxpayer, keep these little games in mind. So when there's plastic in these cans, when you put it in the cans or whatever, the city gets charged for it. Now, why don't the city go back and revise that ordinance and say that we must divert this green waste to the boiler, because we put a third boiler there claiming. Now, remember, if we couldn't deliver enough, and this speaks to Kobayashi and everybody else that supported this thing, if we couldn't guarantee the waste and we put a third boiler in and making it more complicated, we're going to have to pay extra because we now have the third boiler but can't deliver the trash as promised. The volume, but yet we're giving the trash over here at another facility and then being charged for it. So imagine 50,000 ton of green waste being trucked to the H power plant from the USDA. Now, why is the city and county of Honolulu seeing this practice from the delivery of this green waste to control the alien species that may devastate agricultural crops, our population of palm trees? And if you think we're whistling Dixie, I'll just remind you, remember the Willy tree just a couple years ago when they were so vibrant and so many and numerous and stout, and all of a sudden entire street blocks in Campbell Industrial Park dead, drying, rotting while standing because of one little wasp. Remember that, folks. So why would the city and county of Honolulu look to charging the United States Department of Agriculture for 50,000 tons, and how much will they be charging the federal government for that? Maybe $45 a ton? This is what he suggests, Hewden says. So 50,000 times $45? Why is it that there would be anything charged when Honolulu stands to lose if we don't eradicate this beetle? Does that make sense? So, that's just a portion of it. Let me get this call. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Does it make sense? It's called rail.
Yeah.
They got to pay for the rail.
Okay.
So, every time they purchase or ask somebody to give them a dime, goes to pay for the rail.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's cynical, but that's my answer.
Yeah. Well, this is, I can't hang my hat on this one as far as common sense, but again, this is something, I mean, why would the gates should be open. Honolulu city management should be telling the USDA, look, we're going to man this place 24/7 for you, because if that beetle is not contained and controlled, the aesthetics of our streets, the loss of palm trees, for one, is bad. We don't have much agriculture and industry anyway, but the little bit we do might be threatened.
Why?
Yep.
Who in their feeble mind? I'm sorry. I'm not even a manager of any sort. I know better that this is when you simply say to the USDA, we'll leave the lights on for you because this monster that's running about our community stands to threaten and devastate everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we're in a meeting telling people that because we want to continue to give money to our friends and
yes.
and soak the taxpayer, we're going to charge the taxpayer in another effort to protect us from our own asses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely. I'm sorry, guys out there. I'm not.
But you mentioned the beautiful willy trees. After the bug ate up the tree, it cost us $2,000 to take out the dead trees.
Mm-hmm. Well, you
know,
yeah.
I remember that one well.
Well, I mean, why didn't we buy a fleet of new trucks to pick up green waste? We pay the driver to drive the truck. We pay them handsomely. And we didn't even talk about that cost. That's from the taxpayers' coffers. And we're standing here. And the most frightening thing is that the average person that's sitting and listening to this will turn around and see half those jackasses out there standing on the corner waving with a sign. You don't even know what they're saying, what they stand for, and you go back and vote for them. It's like taking a dagger and standing in the mirror and cutting your own throat.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, or cutting the lining in your pocket.
That's better.
But I mean, it's the death of an industry. Look, taro. If some of the people that grow taro are very well oiled small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Can they afford such a devastating, and can they afford to rely on insurance and compensation if the beetle get out of hand? They're destroyed.
Yeah.
Maybe one delivery of crop to the market renders them gone. Now you got people on welfare are devastating and got monies that they spent to invest and borrow. So I'm just appalled when I saw that, that's just why I said, it's not what they say, it's sometimes what they don't say that is more frightening. And this is one of those situations. And by the way, if you curious about the beetle, go to carolcox.com or go to the USDA.gov and type in rhinoceros beetle or coconut rhinoceros beetle. But for them, they call it the CRB, you know. But we're going to call it the beetle.
Well, where did it originate?
I don't know. It's been in Guam. It's been in. I don't know where. In this instance, it's all speculation. All that I know, pretty much, is that I think there's a number of 643 pests. I don't know, but again, out at Iroquois Point, this is because I guess they're trying to coordinate. And please, folks, 524-1080 is the number, and tell me if I'm off base or just gone. So you got this beetle, and you know that it likes to live in and seek refuge and breed in piles of mulch, right? But if you go to Iroquois Point, they got mulch there, and they got plastic mesh netting over it. Okay, just sitting there. Now, is it sitting there because the federal government does not have enough money to pay these yahoos at H-Power or the city and county of Honolulu who requires payment for something that's going to benefit them or benefit the city or benefit the state? I don't know now. I'm speaking out of school, but there's something amiss here, something that says dumb, dumb, dumb. And I don't mean like a funeral procession, but dumb, dee-dee-dum, dee-dee-dum. That's something's wrong here. It's Russian roulette. that you would leave tons, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of tons of mulch just laying in an area that you know is ground zero, and you put a plastic mesh over it, but maybe you're back in Washington trying to get some money, justify or get the legislators, or Colleen Hanabusa, and what's our other, didn't we have a senator, started with another, what's her name?
Yes.
What was her name?
Hirono.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't hear much from her, my memory doesn't serve.
Yeah, you're right.
But Hirono, this is a potential tragedy of a magnitude, a big scale, and yet they got the mulch. They should be neck break speed at working and cleaning up the mulch, especially if they claim they owe $2 million because they can't deliver enough. You understand?
No, I do not understand. I do not understand any of the things they do. And they're on vacation. Everybody's on vacation.
Yeah, well, that's good. Caller, go ahead. You have a comment or question?
For me? Yes.
Oh, yeah, you. You called the show. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you know anything about it. It's composting. And I think when they compost the green waste,
mm-hmm.
it heats up to a certain temperature and kills all the bacteria and the bugs in that. But what they got to do is get rid of it quicker with all this, ag land out there or do something. I don't know. I think it's beneficial, I don't know what you're concerned about is more the money the cities.
No, in a viable and a legitimate practice of mulching, there are many
composting.
Things.
Composting.
Well, whatever you want to call it. It's just mulching and composting. I mean, let's not get technical on the...
No, but you gotta know what it's all about. It's
listen.
It heats up and kills the bacteria, and after that, it comes into where you got to add stuff back to the land, because right now all they're doing is petroleum fertilizers and stuff, and that's not good either.
Well, I really like this show, and thanks for calling, because it always... It gravitates to the caller telling me what it is that I don't know. I'd like to invite you. Wait, go back and listen to some of the shows that I've done.
I understand where you're coming from and everything. But
you don't understand. Let me finish my sentence. Oh. You don't have to interpret me. I anticipate what I'm going to say. Just listen.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I understand composting, and I understand that there is, to make Minnehuni magic, that is a process. And you're required by law and by policy and by practice to turn this material over and then to keep it, for, especially for fires. You don't want fires. And then you also want to raise it to a certain degree so pathogens are not present and you want to kill them off. Then you want to use that material. So I know all about that. This is something... That is, we're talking about something that's happening in the back room. Not you and I understand and agree about composting and mulching and the process.
Well, what are we to do?
What are we to do?
Yeah.
Well, for example, as you may have heard, I said that there are other private companies would love to utilize some of this mulch and its raw form and introduce it into their farming practices. And do their own mulching and modifying the soils and what have you. So, but the company refused to do that by saying, if you do that and do your own topsoil activities, or you cannot sell it and you must sign a contract with us. In the meantime, the thousands and thousands of tons are just sitting around doing nothing. They're not even turning them because the volume is just so great. And so what they did, even if they were to continue to dump raw or the first pickings that they've sorted the plastics out and take it to Wailua, for example, they would never, because the volume that's coming in the front door exceeds, you already have a volume that exceeds any commonsensical storage, but the volume. And so when it just sits there, it's an invitation for trouble. So I understand all of that, and I agree with you. Composting is king. But the problem is we're not talking about the process now. We're talking about what takes place in behind the door and the unreasonable causes that justify, they're using to justify to pay an extra $2 million to burn trash and then charge the federal government to deliver that material to H-Power. That's all I'm talking about.
I understand, but you got to work with them, too, and let them see what they got to do something, you know?
They who? Who are you talking about?
The county and the city and county and all those guys who are making the backdoor deals, like you said. They got to do something if they know that Beto's high priority.
Right, and you, I don't know if you agree or disagree, but my point is, you know, if we know that this is a threat to all of us, then, if nothing else, but for the ornamental horticulture aspect, the beautification concerns and the loss of trees and our beaches and what have you with these trees and the palm trees, that is what sells. When you send a postcard back, so you would think the city would be quick to say, what do you mean charging you? You get that over here now because we got the burners, you got the trash, let's have a party. But instead, they're sitting there negotiating how they're going to get paid.
Yeah.
That's
have, you ever, mm-hmm. have you ever talked to, I watch those guys come and check the black boxes.
Yeah.
And I'm on a town side or whatever, and they've never found none on this side. Have you ever talked to those people, or have they been finding them, or?
Well, they've been, if there's websites that tells you where they've had various sites and sightings and findings in Barbers Point and other places, but I don't know that there's so many aspects to this that I'm looking at from an aspect of waste and abuse, nothing to do with the, and also the concerns to, instead of recycling wood chips, we're recycling politicians. So the little different conversation than and I'd love sounds like you know mulching, and I would love to have you to come in, and because there are a lot of people doing home gardenings and would like to learn more. You know, I have a book that talks, it tells you all the rules and what you can do, what you can't do, what you should do, all of that from a professional standpoint.
Yeah, and I really like what you're doing on the air, where you're the only one seeing anything.
Well, but imagine now that you know the willy tree, how that thing so quickly. My friends were saying, hey, you ought to go to Campbell Industrial Park and see a couple of trees dying. You better get down there, man, because they look like they're dying like this. And I'm thinking, before I knew it, I went down to photograph them, and they were all cutting them down, and they were just almost sawdust. Just you remember that?
Yeah.
And I used to go over there and pick willy seeds because it had the white ones, you had the dark red ones, you had the orange, and go over there and pick for make lay, right?
Yeah.
And,
That used to be the wind block for all the pineapple and cane years ago, too, or the sugar. Or the
In that area, huh?
Uh-huh. And that all died out.
Yeah, but no, if we have, please don't hesitate. If you got something off on...
Yeah, I thought I'd just call in.
I appreciate it. And this is about just asking the question, why are we paying a company to take something that we can be sending to H-Power anyway and generating electricity, supposedly, so we'd make money rather than paying money.
Yeah.
You know, see, but... It cost-benefit analysis or the return on our dollar is just something's wrong with that. So I appreciate you calling.
Okay.
Thank you. Aloha. But I ask, and I've already answered this, and does the city pay the company per ton for green waste and deliver to Hawaiian Earth Products? And if yes, how much? For clean, unbagged waste, I had already. They said that the city pays $45 a ton,
mm-hmm.
right? Generated by homeowners, self-hauled to the facility by homeowners. That's what they charge. But you see, this is the trickery dot. They want you to run around the clock with them, and here's a game. I just told you that this contract shows that. It's $70.25 for bag and $65 per ton to deliver to H-Power to Hawaiian Earth Products. But when I ask this question, you see, he only gives me, he says that contains some bag material. The city pays about $65 a ton, about, when in fact the contract says in 2012, and it may have increased from then, amendment, through an amendment. And this is amendment number 4 to contract between the City and County of Honolulu and Menehune Green, LLC. So I understand, but my point was just to ask these questions.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, on Saturday, they come and pick up our green waste. We've got the green container. We sit it out front. Now, the city picks that up. Where does that go? They pick up on, you know, in the green container. Where does that go?
Eventually, it's supposed to, by statute or by ordinance, as they referred me to, 917, says that it must go be recycled to that facility, Hawaiian Earth Products. So if you're wherever it is, right?
Yeah.
And they may short dump it over there at one of the convenience centers, but it can't exceed 10% or something to that effect. So all they have to do is go back and instead of telling me, putting me in my place and telling me what section authorizes them that require them, make it mandatory that they deliver to that facility, just like that law was written, it can be unwritten and modified to say that at a minimum, when there's a deficit, the contractor must make available, or we will divert, under this contract, we will divert X number of tonnage to satisfy the need and agreement at H-Power. But you see, this is the problem with the political structure here. And I'm only speaking to the political structure that exists where we, the voter, sit down and be told that this guy is good, he's recovered. It's like saying, you know, that's why I like an honest drunk. Really, there are some people that are just straight out honest, and they say, look, I don't drink anymore, but I'm still always, always considering myself an abuser of alcohol, right? I don't ever want to be doing that again. And they treat themselves because they remind themselves. But without politics, I can lay out 10 other of these instances, and I'm sitting there being troubled by having to watch people, the media, the news people and all say, Mufi Hanneman, he's recovered himself. Really? Let's just go over to the Green Waste facility and see how much he's recovered.
Well, my question, you know, having worked at every level of government and watch people that do not get elected, who are not accountable to anybody, write regulations and all of these little things, and they aren't accountable to anybody. They just, you know, come to work and go home and write rules that who knows who.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I refer...
And that just really, that part of it bothers me. I have seen that over and over again. And that is where, so the legislature, the city council thinks they've done something wonderful, and they pass this bill and somebody signs it. Then it goes to the bureaucrats who have to write the regulations.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about, that those people write these things and aren't accountable to us.
But understand, we don't have Ernest Hemingway's and other authors as city workers. These are people that are hired with specific purpose to carry out the wishes of the backdoor dealers. They are facilitating.
That is exactly what I'm saying, because we don't even know who the hell.
That's okay, but that's what this is about. Hold on. Go ahead, caller. Good morning, and thank you. You have a comment, a question?
Yes, I wanted to add back to the home gardening comments.
Mm-hmm.
Google search Mel Bartholomew and the square foot garden. People can get seeds food seeds with food stamps. And if you use chicken wire, roll it up into a small cylinder, line it with burlap, put 70% humus, 15% small rocks, 15% sand. You got a good soil medium, and you can grow food anywhere, on concrete, and start sending the heat back up into the atmosphere or absorbing it into the plants also, things like that.
Okay.
But it's a square foot garden. As far as the government goes and stuff like that, enforce your Second Amendment rights. Tell them to get lost. Do as you will, please.
But you won't have any gas.
Stay away from them. Yeah. Go on strike. Shut the beast down already.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. And that's no bull, right? But, all right, Curtis, thank you. But and you got a point there. But speaking of government, I just thought there's a little note here. I don't know if I'm overreacting or thinking that this is humorous. But I wrote the APHIS, the USDA, and asking them for answers to my questions. And she wrote back kindly, "I wanted to let you know that I received your message about disposal of waste from coconut rhinoceros beetle control efforts in Pearl Harbor this morning. Because of the time difference, I thought I would just send you a quick email letting you know that I'm trying to identify the right person to refer you to. Our offices are closing early today due to the holiday weekend. But I will be sure to get back to you or have the correct person call you on Tuesday. So, but my request was, could I get some answers for today's show on Sunday? But isn't it kind of funny that, you know, they close early because they're already getting a holiday, so they shut down the office 5 days early, 3 days early, 4 days, what, Friday's early?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Anyway, it's something I want to always say now. Is it okay to say the government rather than our government? That, because it seems to be, and I think we can get we could change the face of Honolulu and the cost of living if we start to vote smart. See, we say, oh, well, what was it? The advertiser ran an article that Mufi Hanuman raised this amount of money. Iona raised this amount of money. Ige raised this amount of money. And spent this amount of money. Well, first of all, I don't care how much they spent. Half of what you should report is that they spent this amount of money lying to you or trying to trick you into voting for them. That's what the article should have said, right? Because that's what it is. Remind us, be diligent and be forceful and be a good media and say, take the good with the bad and understand that while doing that, you got to think, well, gee, Jeff Davis is involved. He's running for governor. He's libertarian. Is there a certain number? If you don't raise more than $100 a day, you can't be mentioned. It's a policy that the media can't mention you and let the people know that they have a fourth choice or a fifth choice. I don't know. I'm not being critical of anyone. I'm just asking the question, what's going on here? And, you know, I mean, we know that Mufi Hanuman had a little money. And that's befitting because that's all he deserved. And in fact, whoever gave him some money he must have a lot of money to be thrown away. Because we already know get out there. What did he do when he first left office? He ran to higher grounds. To the tourism or something, the business,
hotel industry.
You see, if he, in my opinion, and this is me, and you can slap me down for saying it, but in my opinion, if a man says he's caring for the voter and have gotten the Holy Ghost, the voter Holy Ghost, then we would have seen him gravitate to the level of Hoosier or somebody like that out there parting the weeds, getting the thistles in the thumbs and, you know, sweating and stinking from the day's work or chasing the issue with the homeless. But no, He ascended to the heavens of big bucks. How do we in good conscience serve this man up, this man or Mufi Hanuman up as a redeemed entity? I'm just saying, and it's not picking on Mufi, it's just an example of what it is that we're missing out and why we show up first in the cost of living, because it's people that spend our money like it's water. And that's the problem.
It is. It's a real problem.
Parsons got we talk about the rail, we talk about all of this, all of these contracts that were handed out. And I'm not picking on Mufi, it's just that, hey, this is, you're the star of the show, and you won't talk about a show unless you mention the lead actor, right?
Well, he's the one that put Kirk Caldwell in position to carry on.
Yeah, and he's carrying on. And then mm-hmm. Duke Iona, what would Iona be able to claim? What is it that, honestly, and we're going to talk about Ige too. I don't want anyone, what has Ige done? I'll ask the same question that what we could.
Can I answer that one?
Well, if you got the right answer.
I got an answer for this one. You know, I have been a part of this whole process for more years than I can count.
Yeah, I was being polite and not blaming you for it, but go ahead.
No. Listen, but my answer to about Ige is I don't know.
Yeah.
I honestly do not know. In all the years of testifying, being part of at the legislature and all, I don't know. Other than to say hello. And then he was chair of the finance committee.
Yeah.
And so, you know, apparently he chaired that well, but I don't know. And that, so the answer is he must have done something to stay in office for 28 years, but what that is, I don't know.
Yeah. Good morning, caller. Go ahead. You have a comment or question?
Thank you for taking my call. Listen very carefully. This is going to be very brief. The Trojan horse in Hawaii is the rail. Everything can be attributed back to the financing, money, votes bought. The Trojan horse is the rail. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. And the Beatles now, and I don't mean Paul McCartney and Wings, you know, but yeah, Richard, that's true, but we have to some way find our way out of this cesspool, because we go and do the same thing, and then we say, well, only a small portion of the voters vote. But we know better. The person that's struggling to get food and it's on his table knows better. I mean, it's not a difficult decision. But again, I said it last week and the week before and the week before. You will never get any respect from anyone, politician or anything, if you are willing to get in a car and drive down the road and come to the intersection and there's a guy with 100 signs and people sitting there with T-shirts on waving at you. Well, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe human beings have evolved where you can get that telepathic message. But I have my radio on most of the time, so I probably wouldn't get it anyway. But if some of you out there are getting that message, and maybe help me tune in, because when I drive by and see these politicians standing out there, I don't get no message. I don't get anything. I just see them waving. Am I missing something? Is there a message? Can you pick, your antennas allow you to pick anything up, Marcia?
No.
I mean, I'm serious.
Well,
so,
but, you know, it has been lost. We do, you know the story of how sign waving began.
Yeah, and African American, and there are some things
Campbell.
In history. Yeah, but there are some things in history when we say an African American did it. I don't care.
No.
It's still stupid.
No. I meant the reason that they did it.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. But I'm looking at the.
But that reason.
Yeah.
That reason has disappeared.
Right.
So
the reason
I'm agreeing
was
with you.
Yeah.
The reason was he was teaching a class
right.
on civics, and they were talking about campaigning, and well, all of the kids in his class were too young to run for office, so he said, I will.
Right.
They had no money. They put the students put together a campaign. They were the ones that decided on the signs because that was the only way to get their message out. And he won.
Right, right. I got that. But
so what I'm saying is that message has been lost.
Right, and that message, the average person is not going to task himself with going and reading that. So I stick with the current temporary.
And that's what I'm saying to you, that you're right.
Yeah, and so
that,
what...
That the message has been lost.
So again, I want to emphasize that don't expect much if they can spend your money, shove a rail down your throat, shove a ferry down your throat, do all kinds of insidious things. If they can do that and then return to the scene of the crime by standing at a traffic corner and waving at you, and then you go back and vote for them, stop complaining about the media. Don't complain to God to show you the way. Don't complain to nothing. Just learn to accept your lazy, apathetic, I'll just vote for him because he's a nice guy. Really? And we're up to our neck in being first in everything that's negative? You have control, folks, as voters, honestly. I mean, I wouldn't tell you anything else. I don't know what else you could. But we have the capacity right now in the booth to start voting smart. When we see a guy says, oh, he has a war chest of millions, do what you did to Neil Abercrombie. I don't know if that was the only reason, but I'm sure many of you out there saw that, oh, well, he's owned by the big man. So therefore, he doesn't have our interests in hand. So we're going to vote him out. We did good, and I'm sure there's a portion of that was religious that thought, well, we'll vote for Ige, he's the weakest of them all, and so we'll vote for him, and then we'll get to vote in our man, Duke Iona, who has ran the state's budget for 30 years. He has met with the president 80 times. We've had 20 crises that that people that are in the capacity of governor can claim that they've had this ability and demonstrated that they can. Duke has all of that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Does he?
He's got more than that.
No. I'm just...
But I'm not going there.
No, I'm being facetious, folks.
I know.
So when we're told, well, he has leeway, and then I listen to the radio, and there's the preachers talking. Is it Cordero or someone? Now the preachers are getting involved, which is okay. But then, you know, we're getting ripped from all sides. That's why I'm always reluctant and never say who you should vote for. The point is just to say the little bit of information that I can give you and share with you as examples. That's why I'm a little bothered when people call up and start barking. It's like, no, you can take it or leave it. It's not a right or wrong. This is what I'm reading from papers and documents and hoping to educate you so that when you drive by the street corner, you would say to them, roll down your window and says, go get a job. You seem to have gone off and got all this experience, but every year you come back. So anyway, I hear you typing there. It's coming over the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was typing your notes.
We'll know what you're saying.
I'm trying to make notes here. Yeah. What you're saying.
But anyway, just play. Go to carolcox.com and play it back. That's technology.
It is.
See, when we were born,
you are doing such a good job of being clear and open about so many of these issues that, you know, get swept into that pile with the plastic cover on it.
I'm not saying don't take care, you know, because...
No, I'm thrilled that you do this.
One thing I was going to say when I mentioned the other portion of that, when I mentioned churches getting involved, and I don't frown on that because, remember, Martin Luther King, Dr. Ralph Abernathy, and all, and I mean all, of the civil rights leaders in the African-American community had the church and spoke and incorporated God and everything else in their conversation, and was the church was critical. So I'm not objecting and being critical of them, but I just think that when we start picking and favoring a certain person without telling the truth and putting all the facts out there, it's a little different. See, Martin Luther King didn't say, well, this man is a good man, so don't trust him. Only boycott in his area because he won't beat you and sick the dogs on you. It wasn't that kind, you know.
No. And the church did even more than just the ministry. Because everything I learned in the basement of the church. The churches offered us, as part of the civil rights movement, those of us, because we were all young people, I'm not, you know, less than 20 years old, out here in the street. The basement of the church was open to us as an office. They gave us telephone, mimeograph machines, paper, all typewriters.
Marsha, hold on. We
learn.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
We don't have much time, but you know what you just did?
What?
How old are you to have a mimeograph?
76.
My goodness.
You have to go to the Smithsonian to see a mimeograph machine. Yeah. Nobody knows what those awful things are.
My goodness. Yeah. Okay.
Oh. If technology did anything, it got rid of them.
But anyway, I was going to try and read my poem, but I'll pass today. I was next time.
But read your one about the ode to the GMO. That was so good.
You got it in front of me. You can read it.
I don't have it in front of me, no.
I wrote a poem here, and I call it Butterfly in an Empty Sky, an Ode to GMO. An empty sky catches my eye, no butterflies. I start to cry. I ask myself, why are there no butterflies in the sky? I'm told no one knows why the butterflies die. We just woke up one morning to an empty sky. The government told us we have no right to ask why. Just shut up, eat up, and let them die. The chem companies know why, but they insist on a lie as we struggle to learn why the butterflies die. We prayed, we sprayed till one day no one knew the butterflies would no longer grace the sky. The flames flutter and the flicker as the butterflies die and left us asking why. Once there were zillions, trillions, billions, millions, thousands, hundreds, one, and today none. The giants wouldn't put labels on the cans. Then they placed the chemicals in the farmers' hands. They were only told that it's good for the land. Now the butterflies are gone, and we have no plan, and life is bigger than man. If you're lucky to see a butterfly, you're lucky to see a jewel in the sky. As fewer bees go buzzing by, I wonder if they are next to be wiped from the sky. Anyway, so...
Thank you.
So that's something 5 minutes of craziness there, folks. I just thought that's my way of expressing myself when I saw that. So you can see the poem on carolcox.com if you like to. And there's a beautiful picture there of a monarch that I shot. And you're welcome to download it, and it'll be free. I'll donate you the full megapixel picture. So I think it's really nice. So anyway,
and I put it on Pinterest, and it's been repinned and repinned and repinned. So
yeah, but we need to that ruling over there in Kauai scares me. So
anyway. It is.
Alrighty,
as a judge.
Well, thank all of you guys, and we'll see you next week.
All right, sweetheart.
Carol
thank
Cox.
You so much.
Aloha.
Honolulu 1080.